Jenny, I love that in your children's story you mentioned The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I love the image in there of the lion, the Christ figure in there. And they talk about this person. They're asking the question, and I mean, is he tame? Well, no, he's not a tame lion. But he is good, not tame and good. And that's a little bit what we will be hearing a little bit about God as I speak today. Not tame, not in our control, but good. Today we are beginning a worship series around the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective. And this is what the paper copy looks like of that, the bound copy. We've heard from some of you that you would like to hear more about the basics of faith, the basics of what we believe. And so we're going to delve into the basics through our Mennonite Confession of Faith. So what is a confession of faith? What is its purpose? How do we use it? Or at least, how should we use it? I admit to having a bit of a mixed relationship with confessions of faith in general and this one in particular. Partly, I think that's because I'm not a systematic theologian. I'm more situational, thinking about and responding to God at work in particularities rather than generalities. I prefer the stories of the Gospels to the theological reflections of Paul's letters, although Paul was also fairly particular in his theologizing. Partly, I think it's because I'm Mennonite, this perhaps discomfort with the confession of faith. We haven't been a creedal denomination in the ways that some others have been. Charlene tells me that in the Christian Reformed churches, every week they recite the Apostles' Creed as part of worship. And we don't do that, even though we would generally agree with those creeds, with that creed and some other creeds. Creeds and confessions haven't had the same place in our communal life. And yet we've always had confessions of belief. The most famous, perhaps, is the Schleitheim Confession of Faith, which was a confession created by some 16th century Anabaptists very early in the movement that they used to differentiate their beliefs from the Catholic Church and from some of the other Reformed believers around them. But we as Mennonites in general aren't a creedal people. Another part of my reluctance around confessions of faith is because I think they've often been used to divide rather than unify. They've been used to say that, to keep people out, you are different. They've been used punitively rather than invitationally. I'll admit that I hadn't read through this entire confession until the end of my time at seminary. And at that point, I was working on my MLI, which is kind of the larger, it's a large document that we submit to the conference and eventually is shared with congregations in the application process. And part of that application process was to respond to the Confession of Faith. And it says that you were supposed to state some areas of strong affirmation and some areas of uncertainty or disagreement. And to that point, my knowledge of what it actually contained was fairly limited. And maybe you have that experience too. My main experience of it was in some church wars around LGBTQ+ inclusion, where one line from Article 19 had become a dividing point between those who wanted to include members of that community and those who wanted to not include them in different ways. Since I struggled with that one line, I was skeptical of the whole confession. So I was fairly reluctant as I began to read through this confession and so that I could respond to these questions. And it turns out, as I read, that my areas of disagreement or uncertainty were really, really, really limited. And the areas that I could wholeheartedly endorse were most of it. So, confession of faith. We come to it this week and in the next number of weeks. A confession of faith makes powerful truth claims. It says that we as a community believe some things and that may distinguish us from some others. It claims that these things are important, even essential to who we are and how we choose to live our lives. As Mennonite Christians, we believe in a creating, redeeming, calling, community-building God. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, fully human, fully divine, who shows us who God is and brings us salvation. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who calls us, encourages us, moves among us, and empowers the church. These are the first three articles of the confession: God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And they are truths that we hold as a community and that we'll explore more fully in the next few weeks. When we claim a confession of faith, we're claiming an identity that we invite people into. I believe that a confession of faith should be a source of unity. It's a starting place for teaching. In the introduction to this, it says that this confession of faith is intended to unify us, bring us together. See, these are some things that we communally have discerned and hold together. It's also a moment in time, and it doesn't replace an ongoing life of faith, an ongoing communal discernment of the church. It's not a test of membership. Believe and follow every line of this and you're in. Don't agree with something and you're out. I was reflecting, when we first came to Leamington, Charlene and I wanted to become part of a homeschooling co-op, a group that did some teaching kind of together of our children on Monday mornings. And we were moving along in that process, and this was looking good, and we were pretty excited about this and a way to make friends and connect in that community. And then we got this document that said, and kind of the final thing is, you need to sign this document to be able to teach and be part of this community. We read through it, and I don't know if I would say it was a confession of faith. It was a document of faith that we had to sign that had all these points, and you had to agree with every little point in there to be able to become part of this community, and we couldn't do that, and never were part of it. And that's not, I think, the purpose of a confession of faith. It isn't to say you are out if you don't hold every point of this. It's to bring us together around that common identity. These things are important. So over the next number of weeks, we will spend some time exploring some of the truth claims that the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective makes. And today, we're going to start at the beginning. Article 1, God. This is admittedly a fairly big topic, God. Fairly immense for one sermon. What do we believe about God? In many ways, that's what every single sermon I've ever preached has been about. Exploring who God is and how we experience God is much of what Christian life is about. I could keep you here for a very long time. I think in some ways the question is not only what we believe about God, but what difference does it make that we believe in and follow God? Confession of Faith talks of certain characteristics of God. God is both holy and loving, and it brings those together. God creates. God brings salvation and new life. God calls forth a people. God surpasses our understanding and yet is constantly revealing God's self to us. I think of these characteristics and I think of a particular God experience that I had. It was a late summer night on a canoe trip in Algonquin, and this is the kind of place that I often experience God. It was a couple hours after we'd finished supper, but we'd sung for a bit, and I hadn't yet gotten to the dishes. But I went down to the water first by myself, and I was suddenly overwhelmed by the experience. The loons were calling from everywhere, a virtual chorus of sound around me. The stars were brilliant. The constellations, the satellites, the Milky Way, some shooting stars. I was down there with the loons and with the stars, and I felt a little bit lonely, and everybody else was up the hill, we were on an island at that particular time. And I felt lonely down by the water by myself. And yet I also didn't feel all alone. As I sat there listening to the loons and gazing at the stars, I felt the presence of God. I was completely overawed by God's creation, by the sheer size and majesty and beauty, and yet the incredible detail and intricacy. I was humbled by it, and yet I was also filled with joy and thanksgiving that I was part of it, that God had created me. In the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of those stars, in the midst of that immense universe, I was important to God, and God was there around me, and I felt that. God had privileged me with this moment alone with creation and Creator. And I think about that time when I think about the holiness of God, of the reality that God is beyond our comprehension, that the Creator God is completely separate from my reality. Like the God who names Godself to Moses in the burning bush story, I am who I am. God is not just a stronger human with magical powers like some of the ancients believed. There's another dimension of reality here. There are billions of galaxies in the universe and billions of stars in each galaxy, an immensity so far beyond my understanding. And yet God is the one who initiated the Big Bang. God is the one who created it all. I am who I am. I'm going to get to more of that story and more of what I discovered of God in that. But sometimes we believe that we are in charge of our lives, that we are in charge of the world, or at least we believe that we should be in charge, that everyone should be the same as us, that we are right. We even think sometimes that God thinks the same as we do, that God takes our side in theological arguments or even political arguments. Sometimes we think that God is on our side rather than on the side of others. Certain political and religious leaders seem particularly prone to this. We create God in our own image. We create a God who is our possession. When this happens to me, I need to remember those stars and those loons. I need to remember I am who I am. But God was there with Moses. The other side of that is that God is a relational God. God is a revealing God. God has spoken to us in so many ways. And ultimately, God is a God of love. That time in Algonquin, I felt the immensity and separateness of God. I felt the creative power of God. I also felt the love and presence and care of God for me. I felt that I was important to God. In the burning bush, God says that God's name is I am who I am. But God also says to Moses that I will be with you. And God is there speaking to Moses, relating to Moses, revealing the divine to Moses, being present with Moses. God is there recognizing the pain of the people and being with them. And God continues to reveal God's self to us in the times of the judges and kings, to the prophets, most fully in Jesus, through the centuries of the church, and even to me that night in Algonquin. God is also a calling God, a community-building God. The Confession of Faith says that beginning with Abraham and Sarah, God has called forth a people of faith to worship God alone, to witness to the divine purposes for human beings and all of creation, to love their neighbors as themselves. God creates community and calls that community to be different. When we baptize people, we baptize them into a community because a community is so much part of our belief system too. The Old Testament call to Abraham, Sarah, and eventually through the centuries to the whole people of Israel was followed by Jesus' call to a community gathered around him and then to the church, but always called for a purpose. God says to Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great. God is a blessing God. But I will bless you and make you great so that you will be a blessing. And then says, in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is God's calling to the people, to Abraham and Sarah, and to the people through the centuries, and that is our calling. We are called, we are blessed, we experience the presence of God so that all the families on earth shall be blessed. Our belief in God has purpose, to be a blessing. And finally, and I think most importantly for this morning, the Confession of Faith says that God is a God of love. In fact, this is emphasized by linking God's other characteristics to love. In your bulletin, we have, at the bottom of that first page, we have Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective. This is the article that we're referring to. And at the end, the last section of it, let me find it. It's not in paragraphs like I had it before. The last while, God's awesome glory and enduring compassion are perfect in holy love. God's sovereign power and unending mercy are perfect in almighty love. God's abounding grace and wrath against sinfulness are perfect in righteous love. God's readiness to forgive and power transformed are perfect in redemptive love. And everything is connected to love, to God's love. The other biblical text that I chose for this morning from Isaiah 54 emphasizes this as well. It says, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." Have you experienced that love of God? Have you experienced that love deeply? I remember experiencing that when my father-in-law was in the hospital and was going into a series of surgeries that were really risky. And suddenly in that setting, I felt that God was with him and was with us. I felt it later when he had a final surgery, a number of months before he died, and we learned at that point that he would eventually die from this. And in that, as I was out for a walk that evening, I felt the presence of God in the fireflies around me in my presence. God is a God who loves us, who has compassion for us. This is the love that calls us to be the best selves we can be. It's the love that's there when we experience sickness, that's there when a loved one is in trouble or passes away, that surrounds us in hard times and in good, that carries us even when we don't understand or even when we doubt. The love that knows each of us as beloved child. The love that says to us, you are made in my image. You matter. You are loved now, tomorrow, and forever. You are not alone. You are my beloved child, says God. As we spend time with our Mennonite Confession of Faith, I pray that it's a good time of learning about the basics. I pray that it's an identity-forming, unifying, shaping thing that brings us together. I pray that it helps us to deepen our faith and our connection to each other as we also invite others into this journey alongside us. Most of all, I pray that each of us experience the holiness of God, the otherness of God, the calling of God, and the love of God. We are each a beloved child of God. Amen.